Welcome to Hero Hype, episode 5. Happy New Year. I'm Marama. I'm joined by my partner in crime, Donya. Hi, Donya.
Hi, Happy New Year.
How has 2015 been for you so far?
I spent the majority of it at work.
Okay.
My first order of business of 2015 was to run out in the garden in my socks to play with sparklers. So that's how I started my year.
That sounds like a great start.
Yeah, I wasn't drunk either. It was literally just the boyfriend of one of my housemates brought around like loads of packets of sparklers, and we got really excited about it and ran out in the garden.
That sounds wonderful. I'm on day 2 of 2015, and I have to say, as far as these go, it's been up there so far.
Good.
Yeah, we're all living the high life at the moment.
I was going to say, you Australians and your time travel.
I know. I think now everyone listening to this will be into 2015 now. I'm pretty sure we've crossed that line across the world.
Yeah.
We're definitely one of the first ones down here in Australia. So I can report back that it's been pretty all right. So nothing to worry about just yet. In keeping with the new year, time to make New Year's resolutions, time to like change things up and do things a little different, we are going to continue doing exactly what we have been doing here in Hero Hype. Because if change and continuity aren't exciting, then you know what? I just don't know what is. So we are going to be talking about all of the latest news. We are also going to be spending a bit of today doing a bit of a reflection, year in review 2014, what we're looking forward to in 2015. Before we get there, don't forget, you can always find us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. We are Hero Hype Podcast on Tumblr, and our email is herohypepodcast@gmail.com. So there's a theme. Stick with it. You will get there. Let's talk about news, as always. Let's start with Marvel. Let's start with Agent Carter. This is the most exciting thing that is coming up very soon. We're getting a whole lot of promotional material. There's about 500 stills here from the premiere. It looks exciting. I don't know. I'm not so into Peggy in the blonde wig, but that dress is damn good.
That she's got on. Ooh.
Yeah. Whoa. Do these get you excited, or is it a little too much?
To be honest, I was super excited about it, and also it still doesn't give much away.
It doesn't give anything away.
Yeah, they've been really, really clever with the stills that they've chosen, in that it really, really sets the mood and the tone and the kind of style that we're going to be expecting from the show in terms of how it's going to be shot and how it's going to be styled. But in terms of what's actually going on, nothing. We got nothing, guys.
Yeah, this is true. I'll take anything, really, at this point. That they'll tell us about Agent Carter. Of course, that is coming out next week, and very, very exciting. Howard Stark looks good in these, too, I have to say.
Yeah, he really does.
I'm a big fan of his. I'm glad he made the time to film this, because I think that's what everyone was worried about, that he'd be like, sorry, guys, I'm a big movie star now. Don't have time for this. Agent Carter premiering on 6th of January, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good. I'm so excited. I'm waiting for them to renew that immediately, please.
Just so that we've got, like, even if it's another, like, limited series kind of thing.
I want them I want them to commit to doing this in, like, every mid-season break for S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. For the rest of time and forever.
Please.
Sounds like a great idea.
It is a great idea, because it would also make the wait less agonizing. So,
hey, I would be eager for the wait, because, like, I enjoy S.H.I.E.L.D., but Agent Carter is worlds beyond in levels of anticipation for me.
Yeah.
A little bit more of TV news. Over on The Flash, we had some casting news. Cisco, my favorite character, always. We're getting siblings for Captain Cold and for Cisco. Are these exciting?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's nice to know that as we're going into the next part of The Flash, we're going to get a little bit of new blood, I guess, to shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we've been introduced to these characters now, and we've gotten to know them, and this is just going to flesh out their backgrounds. So it's nice that we're going to develop the characters we already know, but we're also going to get new people along with that to see how they play off all of those guys. So yeah, I'm excited to see some new people coming into the show.
So we've got Nicholas Gonzalez from, people may know from Sleepy Hollow, is going to be playing Cisco's brother, Dante, who is a gifted pianist who never reached his potential and secretly resents Cisco's success. I feel like that's going to be not so secretly as this continues. And then we also have Peyton List from The Tomorrow People, who is going to be playing Lisa Snart. That's a funny name. Sister of Leonard Snart, a.k.a. Captain Cold. Lisa's going to be, again, sort of the antithesis of her sibling. So she's also going to be involved with Cisco. So maybe we're getting a bit more of a Cisco story in the next few episodes of The Flash, which I am so excited for because, as everyone knows, I love Cisco. He's yeah. hilarious and wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, we've already gotten a little bit more of the other characters, so yeah. knowing that we're going to get a little bit more about Cisco, that's going to be great.
Yeah. Because we have, right, we have had quite a bit of Caitlin with Firestorm and all of that.
Yeah, exactly. So this is just going to flesh out Cisco that little bit more, which, you know, we don't know that much about Cisco's background and backstory as of yet, so knowing that we're going to get these two characters that are probably going to bring that into the forefront, it's just going to give us more feelings about Cisco, as if we didn't have enough before.
Exactly. All right, moving on from highly anticipated to maybe not as anticipated, a bit of Ant-Man news. We've had the first promotional image of the film's villain, Yellowjacket. In this new Ant-Man promotional, there's a look at Ant-Man, there's Yellow Jacket, there's the logo. It is what it is.
Yeah. Again, it's very nice art.
It is.
I'm not going to discredit that. The art is very nice. Does it make me excited? Not particularly. It's cool.
I think with
whoever
Ant-Man,
worked on that, they need it's to. It's looking good.
Yeah, and Ant-Man is so soon. Ant-Man is July this year, so I think they really need to get some actual promotional material out there soon, so people stop doubting that this is going to be, terrible.
Well, in this same article that we had about Yellowjacket's look. It also mentions that the Ant-Man trailer was classified last week. So if you're new to movie news, classified basically means that it's got rating. Yeah, so it's got a rating so that we know where it can lie in terms of what films it can go before and what audiences it's okay for. And it is going to have a 1 minute and 48 second runtime.
Yeah,
so it's imminent. That trailer is gonna drop at some point. When?
Yeah.
Not sure. A lot of people are thinking it's gonna be within the next week or so. So
we're definitely
watch this
due.
Space.
We're definitely yeah. due for a trailer. And Ant-Man has always, has been really on the back foot about everything. So I'm not that surprised, I guess, that it's kind of taken them this long to get their act together, but. It's not endearing the film to me at all. Though, like you said, the art is very nice, but am I going to go and see it? Look, I'm going to go and see it anyway, but am I going to get excited based on one piece of promotional artwork? Probably not.
This may be one of the first Marvel movies that I will not be going to a midnight showing for. I've been to pretty
Did
much
the midnight.
Did you go to
all of the others?
I've pretty much been to the midnight showings for every single Marvel movie.
How
except
do you do
for
it? You're crazy.
I know, but I want to see them as soon as I possibly can. My favorite one that I went to see the midnight showing of was Captain America 2, because I went to the huge IMAX in London, which is also owned by the British Film Institute. Mm-hmm. It is huge. Oh my gosh. and it is amazing. And if you ever have the opportunity to see a film there, go and do it. It was unlike any other movie viewing experience I've been to. So very highly recommend it if you're on my side of the pond.
Side note, tangentially, I cannot do midnight screenings anymore. Like, my body is too old for that. The last one I went to was Catching Fire, and I just sat there the whole time, like, surrounded by, with my friend who was my age, surrounded by, like 16-year-olds, just being like, I can't do this anymore. I was so exhausted by the end of it. It was such an effort. Like, I got to midnight. It's like, oh my God, the movie hasn't even started yet. It didn't start till like 12:30. Got out of there. Oh my God, I was so tired the next day. Like, I just can't do it anymore. I cannot hack it.
Oh,
I'm past it.
I don't know. I think I'm still there. I can still.
You're young at heart.
I'm still just about, apparently. I think it's, I did animation at university. So I think that's trained me into, being able to run on as little sleep as possible.
Hey, I'm a musician. Yeah. Like, this should be my prime time after the sun goes down. And yet, no, I can't do it. I also have reached the point where, like, no matter how excited I am for a movie, I can't think of any movie, maybe Fantastic Beasts going out, maybe some of these movies coming out, but there are very few movies that I'm actually excited enough that it's going to matter if I see it at midnight versus, like, going and seeing it at 9 the next morning, you know? Like, I'm gonna sleep through it. I'm not gonna have any spoilers. I'm gonna sleep. I'm gonna go and see it first thing in the morning. It's like the same thing. It's the same thing, and I get more hours of sleep. So that's my new approach. Go to the very early, the first session in the morning versus like the midnight one.
Yeah, for me, I am not doing Ant-Man's. Probably doing Age of Ultron's, and I'll probably skip. If Fantastic Four gets one, I'll probably skip on that too. So I think Age of Ultron may be the only midnight showing I'll be doing this year. We'll see. Watch this space.
Well, you'll be able to report back. Speaking of movies, more movie news. Vin Diesel is teasing again. He could be involved in the Inhumans movie. I feel like this is... Do you think the interest in the Inhumans movie has ramped up since the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. mid-season finale? Because I feel like it has, especially seeing as the movie isn't coming out until 2018.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that's definitely helped getting people talking about it. So, I agree with the speculation that I think Vin Diesel may play Black Bolt, because obviously in Guardians of the Galaxy... He has, what, 4 words that he says?
Yes.
I am Groot and we.
Yes.
That's accurate. It. So, you know, you can get away with it. Because Black Bolt also is going to be a voice acting role.
Yeah, it's like in Lord of the Rings. Gimli played Treebeard. Like, the actor from one did the voice of the other character. So it's totally fine.
Yeah, so it's definitely something I can see him getting away with, playing a different character within the same universe, because you're not going to have the kind of crossover in the fact that we're not seeing his face. There's nothing for us to kind of connect him to in terms of we're not going to see him looking like the same character. So it's definitely something they'll be able to get away with. And these little teases that he's doing, I think, is also helping with ramping up the excitement for the Inhumans. So
still have to wait another basically 4 years for this, so no one get too excited just yet. I have to say, like, I did not like Vin Diesel at all prior to his involvement with Guardians. You know, I thought Groot was really well done, but like, people seem to be really excited about this, and I just didn't realize that there were people in the world who were Vin Diesel fans. I just didn't know, like, no, I mean, nothing against Vin Diesel, I just didn't realize that he was, like, one of those actors that people get legitimately excited just about the fact that it's him, but it seems to be. So, you learn something new every day.
Yep.
it's a good time. All right, sticking with Marvel, we had... a proper look at all of the people in Stark Tower in that scene that we've seen, well, in Avengers Tower, I should say it is now. We've got an HD still of everyone there. And the reason that this is exciting is because there are a lot of questions about who is that lady there? And I know Dunya had some theories, but it turns out the character is Dr. Cho, who is a nanobiology specialist, most likely going to be involved in the plotline with Ultron in some way. Dunya, were you a little disappointed when you found out that she wasn't someone too exciting?
Well, no, because I still think being able to see, you know, another really great female role and a female scientist again, which is really exciting.
Yes.
Is going to be great. And the fact that she is very clearly in the fold there in some way means that she's still going to be very vital to the plot. So whether she is who I thought she might be or not, mm-hmm. it's still exciting to see, you know, not another white person in the lineup. And she may not be a superhero in the sense that she's got that alter ego, but, you know, I'm still excited about seeing another woman coming in here who's going to be just as pivotal to the storyline as any of the heroes.
Yeah.
Because I think what's really, really nice, and this is a lot about why I like Hawkeye. Yes, he's got a superhero kind of identity, but Hawkeye's a completely normal person who is just able to keep up with these superheroes. So it just proves that anyone can be a hero with any kind of ability. So having someone else like that is really exciting for me.
All right. You had it here. One more piece of Avengers news. We had these cool, like, character background things, these profiles released for Ultron and Vision. Do you want to tell us why you're excited about these, Dunya?
I am really, really excited about this because it gives us a little bit more about what we can expect from both characters. So most exciting for me is the fact that the Vision is going to be basically the love child of Tony Stark and Bruce Banner. So they're gonna be the people who've coded and programmed the Vision, which is so cool because I love that that's following on from the end of the Avengers, where they kind of jump into the car and ride off into the sunset together, for want of a better explanation of how that ended. And it also shows that that little scene that we got at the end of Iron Man 3, where Tony's basically telling Bruce everything, that's not being glossed over. It's not being forgotten. That relationship is being carried through, and it's very, very clear that they've been spending a lot of time together. So that's really, really awesome about this bit of news about the Vision. The other thing is that Ultron, rather than being created by Hank Pym, which is how he came about in the comic books, is going to tie in the Chitauri storyline back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe again, in that he is kind of a leftover from the Battle of New York and that kind of technology. So we kind of saw in the Avengers that he was a little bit of a, like, the Chitauri were a little bit of like a humanoid come mechanical sort of thing. So mm-hmm. It'd be kind of cool to see if that's like a leftover from that as well.
Yeah.
So that's really, really interesting. And it's basically Tony picking up crap from something he probably shouldn't be touching, taking it away, fiddling with it, and realizing, uh-oh, I did a bad, and now it's going to destroy the world. So, oh dear, Tony, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's Ultron's going to come about from Tony Stark messing around with Chitauri technology. So,
okay, well, there you have it. And Age of Ultron, of course, is coming out May 1st, 2015. Not far at all.
Yeah.
It's quickly approaching. Okay, one little piece of DC news this week, and then we're going to wrap it up. We've been hearing, you know, more and more talk, I guess, about Neil Gaiman's Sandman and the adaptation. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was supposed to direct and star in it. That's the last we heard. Mm-hmm. Now he's not. Now he's going to produce. Neil Gaiman did an interview recently where he was talking about who he would like to play Morpheus. And he said Johnny Depp would have been great, but obviously now he's too old. And then his next pick would have been Benedict Cumberbatch. Of course, Cumberbatch is now being cast in Doctor Strange, so probably rules him out. But Gaiman says if he can't have Cumberbatch, he will quite happily take Tom Hiddleston, which I think then the internet exploded.
Yeah, a little bit. But then I kind of worry that Tom Hiddleston is so caught up in this image everyone has of Loki that putting him in a different franchise from, even though it's from a different publisher, even though it's from DC, mm-hmm. I think the connection is still too intrinsically there.
Yeah, so I think they'd run into some problems with that.
Yeah, it's gonna like really, really, really be difficult for a general audience to be able to separate them, I think, because it's still within that superhero genre. So I don't know that Tom Hiddleston would be the best choice for Morpheus.
No.
Just based on that. Like, phenomenal actor. He could absolutely pull it off. I think him already being Loki, in the same way that Benedict Cumberbatch is being Doctor Strange, it's the same problem that you're running into.
Yeah.
There are a few options that were thrown out in this same article we put out. And there are two that I would be super, super on board with for Morpheus as well. And that is Eddie Redmayne and Colin Morgan. Because I would love either of them to be in, like, a superhero franchise. And I always love seeing Eddie Redmayne and Colin Morgan in new things. So, yeah.
Yeah, I have no, like, strong opinions on it. But I guess this means we're going to see possibly some movement on this front now that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has pulled out. They're going to need to recast and find someone to direct. So, you know, if they want to get this done in the next few years, they're going to have to get moving on it. So we shall see. I was looking forward to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's take on it, I have to say. So
I really love him.
That's
a
kind
lot.
Of the most disappointing aspect of this story. But hey, whatever. We will keep you posted as more news comes. That is basically all the news from the last week. One other little interesting story that came out, which is just like, oh, made me laugh so hard. Peter Jackson, director of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, says he won't do a Marvel movie and the industry has lost its way. And the full quote was, Jackson said, "The industry and the advent of all the technology has kind of lost its way. It's become very franchise-driven and superhero-driven." Now, one might say, Peter Jackson, that's interesting that you're criticizing franchises after dragging out a, you know, 200-page book into two-and-a-half to three-hour films unnecessarily. That's interesting that you say that things have become too technology-focused because your last three movies literally look like they were filmed entirely on a green screen. So yeah. I'm not quite sure why he thinks he's in a place to criticize all of these when they're exactly the things that he has done in his own films. I mean, if he doesn't want to do a superhero movie, like, fair enough. I just found it very ironical that these were his reasons for doing it.
The second I read this article, I was like, oh, Peter Jackson, people in glass houses.
Seriously. Is he having some kind of breakdown?
Possibly. I mean, I was having this discussion about The Lord of the Rings versus The Hobbit the other day, in that I haven't felt as strongly, emotions-wise, about The Hobbit as I did about the Lord of the Rings films. And I went back and rewatched The Lord of the Rings, like, all of the Lord of the Rings trilogy fairly recently, and I felt the same emotions I felt the first few times that I watched it. And The Lord of the Rings, for all that it is a fantasy film, it is more real because they don't kind of get tangled up in all of this CG stuff. It's all like special effects, makeup effects and all of that, and it just felt so much more authentic.
Right.
Whereas The Hobbit feels slightly more cold and it loses a lot of that. So this story made me go, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this kind of his way of criticizing the corner he was backed into with The Hobbit, maybe?
No.
Maybe.
This is for a different podcast, but he was not backed into a corner. Like, he is in charge of what happens with that franchise, and that's completely a decision he made. I have to say, I do agree with the point he's trying to make, I think, which is that the most effect-heavy superhero films are not necessarily the best superhero films. No. And I think the greatest example we saw of this was Winter Soldier, where the characters were so well-developed and it was really focused more on the characters rather than, obviously, like, there was a lot of effects or a lot of battles or a lot of things going on. But the reason that film worked as well as it did was because it could emotionally resonate. The characters emotionally resonated. Whereas I would say something like The Avengers did not do that so well. And even though it was very exciting to look at and, there was a lot going on, like, I feel no real urge to rewatch that or, delve further into that because you don't connect emotionally with the characters in The Avengers.
Absolutely agreed. Winter Soldier has been one of the ones that, like, emotionally has packed the most punch for me. Like, it felt like a gut punch.
Yeah.
It really, really did.
He has a fair point, but you stay in your glass house and keep those stones with you next time.
Yeah.
One other little fun piece of news. We've been running this competition over on Hyperball, which is to find the fiercest lady on TV. And the reason we are mentioning it is because it just wrapped up and the winner was none other than Arrow's Felicity Smoke, also known as Hero Hype's number one girl. Yeah. So congratulations to the Arrow fandom and to Felicity. And it's always, she won against Arya Stark, which I think is pretty exciting because Arya has a lot of fans and Arya is also amazing. But, like, you know, by virtue of being a superhero podcast, we have to take Felicity's side on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And also of note, the wonderful Agent May also got to the semi-final of character combat. She unfortunately fell at the last hurdle to Arya. It was looking at one point that we may get a superhero like showdown in the final battle, but still a really good feat to see two fairly new characters, both of them are still quite new characters going up against people who are like a lot more established. Arya Stark obviously being the one, and Melissa, who is the mother of Scott McCall on Teen Wolf. So
yeah, it's all exciting.
Very established characters, so it was nice to see them win and Felicity come out on top. Because,
absolutely.
Yay!
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it for news. Let's talk a little bit about the year that was, 2014. I see you've put some questions here. That's great. Now, unfortunately, I have to actually remember what happened this year, which I always find surprisingly difficult considering my age. But maybe this is another like midnight screening thing where I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
First thing we've got is our favorite superhero. Obviously, I feel like the word superhero can be just, we'll cover this entire conversation, but our favorite TV show of 2014, I have to say for me, it was really Arrow because I watched it for the first time in 2014. As listeners of this show will know, I did a very big Arrow rewatch not too long ago, a few months ago. And I'm just, there were a lot of other good shows and like that was fun, but Arrow is just so great. And I think the third season was the strongest as well, or has been the strongest. So, even if I had watched it previously, I probably would have said still Arrow. But yeah, I think 2014 was definitely the year of Arrow for me. And I'm going to guess that yours you're going to want to say, like, shield for, you know, the excitement or whatever of it, but you should go with Constantine.
You think? Because mine was Arrow.
No! You have to support Constantine, the little show that could.
I do love Constantine. I do. I have a lot of feelings about it. I think it is moving in a very interesting and very awesome direction. But for me, Arrow was still the one that I got most excited about this year. So, back for season 3 was just, that was one of like my TV show highlights, was it coming back, because I got so excited about it. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm still enjoying Arrow a lot, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. Okay. What about the most disappointing TV show of the year? What was yours?
Gotham.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Preach.
I had seriously high hopes about Gotham as a television show. I thought the premise was really, really interesting. I thought it could do some really cool stuff, especially coming off the back of like some of the movie stuff. Even if it wasn't going to incorporate it directly, it could still do like a couple of throwbacks to it, like kind of in-jokey sort of stuff, while still keeping it very fresh and new to a new television audience. And it just fell seriously flat for me. I haven't connected with any of the characters the way that I have in all of the other superhero shows. And I'm going to carry on with it because I kind of feel like I've invested enough time in here now that I really want to see it through. I just don't particularly care about any of the characters or what happens to them, which feels like a really horrible thing to say. I wanted to love this show so much, but I'm just not loving it.
Yeah, and I just cannot bring myself to watch it properly. Like, I've tried twice now, and I just can't do it. It's just, it's really bad. It's not a good show. That was unfortunate, because Gotham was one of my more anticipated shows of the year, because as people may be gathering at this point, I really like origin stories, and I'm obsessed with flashbacks, which is maybe why Arrow appeals to me so much, because they got that down. Okay, I think we'll probably agree on this. Best superhero movie of 2014.
Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hands
like,
down.
By far and away. It was also on the hypeable kind of favorite movie of the year. It was my favorite movie of 2014 as well. Like, not just superhero movie, just hands down movie of the year was Winter Soldier. I enjoyed it so much.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely one of my favorite movies of the year, but far and away the best superhero movie. All right,
yeah.
Give us a 1 minute rundown of why it was. I got to put a time limit on you, or you'll just keep talking for the entire show.
No, it gave us the Steve Rogers that we deserve, I think is the easiest way to put it. And it gave us an amazing supporting cast. It started fleshing out the background characters that we'd been introduced to in the other movies as well. So, like, a little bit more about Nick Fury, and we got a lot more about Black Widow and how she interacts and can work with different people. But not only that, it brought it back down to a level that was just so emotional, and it just really resonated with me. And it was so emotional. Like, the whole Steve and Bucky storyline just was heartbreaking. And every single moment was beautifully shot, beautifully acted. And I can watch this movie over and over and over and over and not get tired of it and still get something new out of it every single time.
Well explained.
Yeah.
I'm cutting you off.
Okay.
before you delve further. Okay, yeah, I agree with everything that you just said, and also it's just like super entertaining movie. Cap is my favorite of the Avengers, so you know I'm inherently like more interested in his films, but I think it had a lot to do with the Russo brothers more so than like anything else, which is why when you see Winter Soldier, that's why I'm so excited that they are going to be doing Avengers, because that movie just killed it, and they just killed it. So I think it's a good move forward for everyone.
Yeah.
What about definitely. Our least favorite superhero movie?
I was going to say, we'll probably have the same one here as well, maybe.
Really? Because I just thought of one that I literally forgot came out last year, and that is X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, was that yours? Okay, yeah. I've got a different one.
What are you going with?
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yeah, see, I forgot that came out. I've just totally blocked that from my mind. You know why? Okay, this is why X-Men was more disappointing for me. Because I love X-Men. I do enjoy Spider-Man, but I have just come to a point in my life where, like, this saga of Spider-Man films has been going on for, like, more than a decade at this point. And I've just come to accept that, like, a Spider-Man movie is not going to be a good movie. Like, the two are mutually exclusive. Whereas X-Men movies can be good movies, and I really, really liked the first movie in this reboot. I thought it was really interesting. I think Fassbender is, like, the best thing to happen to this series. I just think his portrayal of Magneto is so fantastic. And, you know, I'm also there for, like, James McAvoy and Jennifer Lawrence. Also Nicholas Holt. Just all of this great cast. Days of Future Past was, like, the Wolverine one-man show unnecessarily, first of all. Second, I mean, you give, like, superhero movies some leeway when it comes to logic, but it did not make sense at all. It still does not make any sense whatsoever. And it was just generally disappointing for me as like a huge X-Men fan, and really the main reason for that was like Wolverine taking over the whole thing, when, as we know in the comics, it's not Wolverine at all. And it's just like another case of it's so unnecessary for like this guy to be at the center of it when it doesn't have to be, you know, like there is no reason that had to be the way that it was. And so I think that's why it's more disappointing for me than Spider-Man, which I've just accepted, like, it's just not going to be a good movie, you know?
That's my biggest bugbear with the X-Men franchise, just in general, is how Wolverine-centric it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, I like Wolverine. I do.
I don't even like Wolverine at all.
Oh, see, in the comics, I think he's a fairly interesting character, and I like, like, some of his stuff, I
like him. No. Sorry, let me differentiate. I enjoy him a lot in the comics, and he can be very funny, but I do not like him at all in any of the films. And those terrible Wolverine origin stories have not done much to improve that, I have to say.
Yeah. So that's my biggest bugbear with the X-Men franchise as well, is that they keep forcing Wolverine at the forefront of everything when he really, really, really doesn't need to be.
Yeah, stop trying to make Wolverine happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. There's such a wide, varied cast of characters that you could pull from X-Men that are just phenomenal and so interesting, and they're sticking with Wolverine over and over and over again. And it's getting a little tired. So,
agreed.
But I kind of made my peace with the fact that, like, going into Days of Future Past, that's the way it was going to be. I'd already had my major hissy fits about it before I even got into the film.
So why was Spider-Man the worst for you?
It was just awful. Yeah. It had a lot of the same problems for me that Spider-Man 3 had, in that it didn't have the right kind of focus. It was a mess.
It
was a terrible movie. It was just a little bit all over the place. I think Sony, again, are losing their way with Spider-Man. They don't know where they want it to go. They're floundering. It was just a bad movie. Not even in, like, just the superhero genre. It was just a bad movie. It fell so flat for me. And, you know, what we've learned from these adaptions from the comic books is that you can change up the continuity of the comic books and make things interesting in, like, a new and different way. So they really, really did not need to chuck Gwen Stacy in the fridge. It happened in the comic books. Did it need to happen in the movie universe?
No,
absolutely not. I understand that maybe that's they wanted to stick closer to the comic books this time round. I just don't think it was the right decision. They should have taken a few more liberties with it, because I think though we're probably going to get to Mary Jane at some point, maybe if if we ever get this third Spider-Man movie,
Slated for 2018.
Yeah, currently slated for 2018, you know, the central and most interesting relationship of Spider-Man was Gwen and Peter.
Yeah.
And I think they've kind of shot themselves in the foot. It just fell so flat.
Yeah, once again, Sony ruins everything, basically.
Yeah.
Let's talk about more exciting things. What was the most shocking moment of 2014 for you?
I think the Hydra reveal.
Yeah.
For me. And just the waves that it kind of rippled out across the entire of the cinematic universe into the TV show. So not only the Hydra reveal in kind of Captain America, but also the way that that brought Grant Ward out of his little Hydra closet in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. Like,
yep, coming out of the moments, closet.
Those two moments together just made me go, oh no! Because I went back and watched season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again.
Mm-hmm.
And damn, now that reveal is done and over, and I know who Grant Ward really is, went back and rewatched everything, and there are really subtle, really nuanced kind of hints, like kind of threaded throughout season one that I glossed over completely. They were really well hidden, but damn, Marvel did really well.
Are we sure that the actor knew in season one that that's where his story was going?
See, I don't think he knew.
No, me
I don't
either.
Think any of them knew. But
I think the writers knew, and they put it in his character story.
I think the writers knew.
Okay, I see what you mean. I would agree with you. I definitely think the Hydra reveal and sort of everything that reverberated from that was the most shocking moment that we didn't see coming. The most emotional moment, well, I guess a lot of that ties into the Hydra reveal as well. I think the most emotional moment was probably Sarah's death on Arrow. Does that count as this year?
Yeah.
That was this year. I'm trying to keep track because I watched it all so quickly. I think that was a pretty emotional moment. I mean, my personal most emotional moment was when Tommy died, but that was season one, so I don't think I can claim that as the 2014 number one. Also an Arrow.
I think you can kind of get away with it because it was your first experience of Arrow.
I'm saying my experiences with Arrow in general were my most emotional moments because, like, I got very quickly very attached to a lot of these characters without realizing the mortality rate on that show, so yeah, that was an emotional roller coaster for me. But what about you?
For me, I think it was it's probably the Bucky and Steve scene at the end of Winter Soldier when they're on Yeah. Judge me if you want to, but the I'm with you till the end of the line thing. Mm-hmm. Still when I hear that, it still feels like a punch to the gut. It's just,
yeah,
it's awful. How dare they do that to us?
All right, come back to us. Come back towards the light, Anya. Yeah. Most improved character. I guess this is from TV or the movies. I am going to go with Sky. Did I steal yours again?
You totally stole mine.
Well, it's your fault because we are the same person. We should know this by now. All right, let me explain why. The moment that really where I was like, damn, I love Skye, is, as everyone knows, when she shot Ward without thinking in the last episode, which I just thought was the greatest thing that's ever happened. I think, you know, Skye has been the central character of S.H.I.E.L.D. without us as an audience really understanding why for such a long time. You know, like, they built up, oh, it's like mysterious backstory. Oh, like, who's her dad? Whoa, crazy family. But she never did anything. And, like, she was just kind of bad compared to Agent May, who has always been amazing, and Ward, who has always been, like, a jerk. And so it was just really nice to see her, like, come into her own this season and, you know, start making her own decisions, seeing a lot more agency in her character. I really enjoyed all of that. Would you like to add anything?
You like, hit every single thing that I was going to say about Skye as well. Just from season one to now, it's just been such a massive change. But it's kind of been in subtle ways. So, like, the core of her character has remained very solid in that she still has a lot of the same motivations and same kind of feelings and ways of reacting to things. But she's also kind of been hardened by her experiences a little bit and kind of focused a bit more. And it's just been, it's been an absolute joy to watch. So. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll let you take the next one then. Who is or was the best antagonist or villain of 2014?
See, I kind of, as much as I hate him, Grant Ward. Because I really don't like him.
I loathe him.
But it's done so well.
That is true.
So well. Like,
Can I choose Hydra as the best villain, like, just collectively? Because I think they really killed it this year.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess Grant Ward comes under that umbrella a little bit as well. But just, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where you love to hate a character. I don't want to see him off the show. That's the thing. I want to continue to see him on the show. But I kind of also want to kick him in the shins. I don't know.
If you're sticking yourself to the shins, then you're a better person than I
was. I was trying to keep this family friendly. I was going to say something else.
Use your imagination, listener.
Yes, I want to kick him in the shins. Yeah that's exactly where I want to.
I
want to
murder him to death, is what I want to do. Because he is a class A thing. Anyway, all right. God, I hate Ward. Okay, I need to move on. I'm just making myself so angry. What about the most exciting announcement of 2014? So we had basically every film for the next, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years announced. What was the most exciting announcement? Doesn't have to be a film, I guess. Could be something else.
No, it was definitely a film announcement for me.
Yeah, and what was
it? It was Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
like,
I thought so.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, I'm still super excited about, like, the Black Panther stuff as well, but Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Okay. Definitely most exciting for me. What about for you?
It was definitely Captain Marvel as well. I guess all of the Wonder Woman stuff as well. Probably those two together. I'm excited to have more lady films.
Yeah,
I want films about ladies, and I want films made by ladies, which is what we're seeing happening with Wonder Woman, so that's very exciting. Maybe Marvel will take some cues from that, but we shall see. I mean, I guess also talking about ladies, like, we had in the comic world, we had the announcement that Thor was going to be a woman, which is, you know, if I thought for a second that they might translate that into the MCU, I would be, you know, possibly more excited about it. But, you know, that's a cool move as well. I don't think we're ever going to see it, although I'm still campaigning for Natalie Dormer. If not, for Captain Marvel. If not, for any other superhero female-led franchise. I just want to see her in a superhero movie, damn it.
I mean, she technically was in a superhero movie.
Yeah, but she was in it for, like, a hot 30 seconds. It doesn't count. Like, that's what people were saying to me. They were like, excuse me, she was in The First Avenger. I was like, please. If Peter Capaldi can play the Doctor after playing two different characters in Doctor Who, then Natalie Dormer can be female Thor. I don't see the problem here.
No, the other thing that was really, it's like one of those things that made me stupidly excited.
Mm-hmm.
Was when the news kind of broke that that farm that everyone's on in Age of Ultron is Clint's farm.
Oh, yeah, you were weirdly excited about that.
I love how it broke the internet a little bit as well, because everyone was like, look at all of this awesome stuff from Age of Ultron, and everyone was like, Hawkeye has a farm.
Yeah.
It's like, a Marvel's like, that's what you're taking from this? Seriously? Yes, Marvel, that's what we're taking from this.
That's what Hawkeye you were taking
has
from
a
it.
Farm. No, it broke Tumblr. Trust me, Tumblr
I don't believe Tumblr actually exists. all right, let's look ahead now. We've looked back, we've reflected, we've been nostalgic. What about the year that is coming? The year that is happening now, currently. The most anticipated movie or TV show, I guess, of this year. I mean, for me, it's just Fantastic Four. That is just so exciting. I'm just cannot wait for that. Oh God. Well, so you know, we've got Ant-Man coming this year. We've got Fantastic Four coming this year. We've got a little movie called Age of Ultron coming this year. Could that possibly be your most anticipated?
I think it's massively a toss-up between Agent Carter and Age of Ultron for me. I'm probably going to choose Age of Ultron just due to the promise that there's going to be more Hawkeye story happening in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I
a completely biased choice there just because I just want him to get, like, more of his character on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And just so that people... Because people who don't read the comic books and don't understand how awesome he is, like, whenever I go off on one and start talking about him, like, wherever I am, amongst friends or in work, people don't get it because they don't always read the comics. They are like movies only, and they're like, but all he did was shoot some stuff in that one movie and then that other movie. And I'm like, they're going, no, you don't understand, there's so much more to him than that. And yeah, I'm just hoping that it kind of gives me a little bit more ammo for when I just wax poetic about Hawkeye more.
Okay, so totally biased. My objectively, the best thing coming in 2015 is obviously Agent Carter. Obviously. Because Peggy Carter is, first of all, amazing. It's going to be totally female kick-ass show. It's like this amazing post-war noir kind of vibe that we're getting from it. It's got all that cool spy vibe that we had in First Avenger. There's amazing directors attached, like one of the Russo brothers is directing an episode. It's just going to be so good. I could not be more excited about this. And I've got my Peggy Carter lipstick. I've got my Peggy Carter nail polish. I am ready to like cosplay in my apartment by myself and watch the first episode. And if you don't think I'm wearing that lipstick when I watch this show, like, you do not know me well enough.
Yeah, I just got the OPI polish as well.
Like, yeah, I already owned it. So, yeah, definitely Agent Carter. I am so, so excited for that. And, you know, we will be talking all about it on the next episode of Hero Hype. So do not definitely worry. That is coming soon. You won't be able to stop us. We won't be able to contain the excitement. Imagine if it's not good. How disappointed will we be? I just thought of this. This thought had not even crossed my mind. But imagine if it's not that good. What are we going to do?
Lie?
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably just be jumping off the roof. Okay, so, you know, there are things to get excited about in 2015. What about things that we're not so excited about? You know, things that we're a little worried about. Ant-Man. I'm very concerned about Ant-Man. I would be worried about Fantastic Four, except I literally do not care about it. So if I was at all interested in Fantastic Four, I would be concerned about that because it seems like they're making the exact same movie, and I'm not sure if they just copied and pasted that synopsis from last time or what, but like, basically it's very similar, but Ant-Man could be great, and I'm very worried that it's gonna be terrible.
I have probably gone over and over and over about my worries, for Ant-Man the last few episodes, and they're unchanged because as far as we've seen so far, they're still very founded worries. So, you know, stuff like Hank Pym, just in general as a character, but also the fact that we're not getting Janet, and things like Ant-Man has some hugely problematic things in its narrative. And also, I'm very, very worried that, you know, Scott Lang's storyline is going to be changed so much that we're probably not going to get even like a look in at his origin story from the comics, which I've gone over before. I love Cassie, his daughter, because she eventually becomes a hero involved with the Young Avengers. And she's such a good character. And I love her to bits. And I'm a little bit worried that even if she's like a younger version of her in the background somewhere, we're just not going to see it. Like, even a nod to it would be awesome. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, really, and Edgar Wright is not attached, so I am worried. That is the entirety of my concerns. Also, everything Donya said. Okay, we did talk about this a little. What actor or actress would you like to see join the superhero roster in 2015? Natalie Dormer. I will always be my answer to that question, no matter what year we are talking about. Do you have any like fan casting or anyone you would like to see for any of the films that hasn't been announced yet that you'd like to see possibly announced in 2015?
So I still would really, really like, even though we're still a far way off, I would like for us to have our Carol Danvers announced at some point in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've narrowed it down to two people that I would particularly love for Carol Danvers. And that is Katie Sackhoff or Emily Blunt.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I recently rewatched, is it The Edge of Tomorrow, the name of that film? The one that's like,
Tom Cruise.
Live, Die, Repeat. Now, I recently rewatched that and it was really good. Like, I'm not a massive Tom Cruise fan at all, but I really enjoyed that movie. And I think a lot of it is because Emily Blunt was so fantastic in it. And as I was watching it, I was going, damn, she'd make a really good Carol.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I
would really, really like to see, I mean, Katie Sackhoff has been like my dream casting choice for Carol for like years and years and years. So above anyone else, like, that's who I want to see for Carol. However, if they want someone who's acted in a few more mainstream movies and has, like, a more mainstream fan base. I mean, Katie Sackhoff has, like, she has a fan base due to, like, Battlestar Galactica and a lot of, like, these other films that she's done. But I think Emily Blunt is, I think, the more commercial choice, I guess, is the way of putting it. So depending on which way they want to go, if they want to go with the more indie kind of off the beaten track choice, Katie Sackhoff would be perfect. If they want someone slightly more popular and known, Emily Blunt would be the way to go.
All right, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
If that actually comes true, man, I will be so impressed. Okay, so that's basically it for our favorite things of 2014, what we're looking forward to in 2015. We asked you guys on Twitter, you can find us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. We asked what you most excited for in the coming year, what you liked most about last year. Two people who, now, Danya, I don't think you could possibly know these people. Courtney says, marathoning all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in 3 weeks and realizing I'm doomed in 2015. Ta-da. And Brooke says, definitely looking forward to this most in 2015 and has linked to the most adorable picture of, like, little baby Vision with Tony and Bruce, which is, like, the person who drew this, I cannot even understand how you have the skill to do that, because that is very impressive. Courtney and Brooke, of course, are Donya's co-hosts from Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. Yeah. So you can listen to more of them over there. But, you know, it seems like you've been doing some converting in 2014.
Well, this is the thing. There's a running joke over on Our Lovely Teen Wolf podcast that myself, Karen, Natalie, and Brooke were all, like, madly in love with Marvel. In fact, while we were at a convention together in New York, every time I started to go to talk about Marvel, Courtney would go, Marvel, 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 Marvel. Basically, as in, that's all I would talk about. So the running joke was that she was never really interested in Marvel. She didn't get it. She wasn't interested in starting it. And literally on Christmas Day, she said, I've been working on my Christmas gift for you for the last couple of weeks. And guys, it's not finished yet, but I wanted to show you anyway. And she just, we've got like a little group chat for the Teen Wolf podcast, and she just dropped a image of a giant Excel spreadsheet full of a chronological order of every single thing from the Marvel Cinematic Universe with the dates she watched it on next to it.
Oh, and that's a nice present.
Merry Christmas. And we'd done our live Teen Wolf podcast episode for Christmas at this point as well. And she was still pretending on that episode that she hadn't watched anything.
Oh, well played. That is commitment to a joke. I applaud that commitment.
Yeah.
To drawing it was out basically, that joke.
It was Courtney's version of the Hydra reveal.
Yeah. Very exciting stuff. Well, I'm glad that she's being converted now. We had a few other people. Donya, do you want to grab those ones?
Yeah, so Cass said Winter Soldier versus Captain Marvel.
So I'm assuming that's like 2014 Winter Soldier, Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, is most excited, most exciting
yes.
news.
Yes.
That's cool. All
I
right.
was guessing that was the way around.
Yeah,
so,
we can agree with that.
Yeah. Maj was saying that for favorite thing from 2014 was Flash and Arrow being pals, probably, or Sky shooting Ward.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree with both of those.
And also most looking forward to in 2015 was Vision being a Science Bros baby and Age of Ultron in general. So... yes.
I'm getting and the feeling we have a lot of Marvel fans.
Yeah.
Where's the DC contingent? You guys need to be a little more vocal.
Yeah. Nikki
or
was...
Fox.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend that anyone likes Sony, but people like Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nikki also agrees with Madge saying, I'm with @_unforgiven on Sky shooting Ward. Hell yes.
All right. There's
a lot of people in that camp.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay, so I think that's it for this week. We'll be back in another fortnight. Every 2 weeks, that's when you can expect Hero Hype. Even if it's a whole new year, you'll still expect us. We will still be here. Actually, I forgot to mention my present to Donya, which was I read all the Hawkeye comics.
Yes, yes, you did.
I'm now waiting for the new ones, and I don't like being in this like anticipation place. But beautiful, beautiful book. Like if anyone was on the fence about it, man, just really fantastic. So I'm a total convert.
And my Christmas tree probably now makes a hell of a lot more sense to you.
Oh well, I got it before. Like I was enough aware of Hawkeye to understand it. Do a visual, do a like an audio description of your Christmas tree if people haven't seen it.
My teeny tiny Christmas tree was actually inspired by the fact that Natalie from Not Another Teen Wolf podcast had basically put a Winter Soldier at the top of her Christmas tree and like a giant sword through the middle of it as well. And I was like, I should totally do a Hawkeye Christmas tree. And she was like, do it, do it. So I went all out. I basically got a star on the top of it that I printed out giant flames for and stuck to it. Then I grabbed one of my Hawkeye figures, put a Christmas hat on him, and did some speech bubbles where it says, okay, this looks bad, and then loads of purple Christmas baubles all over the place. And then a little bit further down, I have another speech bubble that goes, aw, Christmas. And I've also got Lucky, a lovely beloved pizza dog,
yes,
on the tree as well.
Hey, that's a selling point. If you're not sure about reading the Hawkeye comics, one of the issues is told entirely from the perspective of a dog. So if that's not a selling point, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, but in a good way. Like, that sounds ridiculous. I'm making fun of it, but it actually works really well. It, like, ties into everything.
And there's also another issue that is basically told mostly through just the pictures and sign language and very, very few words. Because for anyone who isn't aware, Hawkeye is deaf. So there we go. And his hearing aid kind of malfunctions and he doesn't kind of get it fixed. So he goes through like a whole issue basically not really being able to understand what people are saying unless they're like facing him and talking directly to him because he can lip read. So yeah,
it's like visually one of the most beautiful series, but also like one of the most interesting. They really play around with the format, so definitely check it out, and that can be your present to Donya. And and you can let us know on Twitter at Hero Hat Podcast if you've been reading Hawkeye or if you've been reading other things. Actually, if you go into the comments on our last episode, episode 4, you'll find a handy list, a reading list provided by Donya for what Deadpool comics you should be reading, because we talked a bit about that on our last episode, and some of you were interested in getting started on that. So that list is there. If there is something else that you want to know, like maybe you're a really big fan of, say, Winter Soldier, of the film, and you want to know like what sort of comics you could be reading to tie into that, just ask.
You're interested in whether
maybe a
you're
film
interested.
You're really excited for, something like that, and we can tell you how to prepare for that,
or where to just get started, or and kind of where to move on from there, because there's a lot of crossover between characters and different teams. So knowing a character or something you're excited for, or a character you're already really interested in and love, will help me get some crossover stuff as well. So
absolutely. These are things we can help you out with. So you can ask us in the comments of this post on hyperball.com, where we post all of our episodes. You can tweet us at Hero Hype Podcast on Twitter. They're the best places to let us know. We also have the Tumblr and the Gmail, both Hero Hype Podcast. Follow the theme. You will find us on the internet. That is it for this week. We hope you enjoyed our sort of year in review show. We'll be back in 2 weeks with all the news and all of our thoughts on Agent Carter. So exciting. We will try and contain the excitement on the next episode, but no promises. So until then, I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.